Good morning and welcome to this, our Good Friday service here at the church. My name is Vicky. I'm one of the ministers here at the church, and I'm sharing the service this morning with Ian, one of the other ministers. We come on this day to remember our Lord's death on the cross. And I'm going to start with a few verses from Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Let's pray. And as we hear those words again from Isaiah 53, those words to describe how Jesus was treated. He was despised, rejected. He became familiar with pain. He was pierced. He was crushed. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Until in the end, he was slaughtered. And yet we read that you did not open your mouth. You took our punishment, our sins, our transgressions, and you took them to the cross. And so we come before you at the start of this service to confess. To confess all that we have done that was not pleasing to you. All the wrong things. Our wrong actions, our wrong motives, and we come before you. Forgive us, Lord. We come before you as your children, humbled by your majesty, grateful for your suffering, overwhelmed by your love. We come before you, and we recognize how great you are. Amen. We're going to sing in a moment that wonderful song, reminding us of the depth of the Father's love, how deep the Father's love for me. Our first reading this morning is going to be read by Carmen from John chapter 18.
Good morning, church. I thank God for enabling us to use this medium to worship together. I also want to say thank you to everyone who prayed for me while I was in the U.S. for my safety and my well-being. God is forever faithful, and his mercies endureth forever. I have two Bible passages to read, so I pray that God will prepare our hearts and our minds as we listen to his word. The first reading is taken from John chapter 18, reading from verses 19 to 24. The high priest questions Jesus. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. I have spoken openly to the world, Jesus replied. I was always in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said. When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. Is this the way you answer the high priest? He demanded. If I said something wrong, Jesus replied, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest.
A It's not fair. It's just not fair. How many times have we heard children saying those words? It's not fair. But it wasn't fair. Jesus slapped for telling the truth. Jesus whipped for telling the truth. Jesus persecuted for doing good things. His life had been a story of that. Condemned for healing a man on the Sabbath. Questioned for speaking and putting the religious leaders right. Time and time again, he had been persecuted for doing what's right. But now slapping, pain. And although for the hearers the truths were uncomfortable, they were still true. And that is still the same today. We will hear uncomfortable truths as we read the scriptures. As the scriptures face us, there will be uncomfortable truths. But Jesus, in this trial that happened overnight between Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, faced injustice. He faced pain. He faced humiliation. Senseless questioning of religious leaders to try and make a point that was not there. There was definitely the shout louder, argument weak thing going on. They had no case against Jesus, yet they were determined. They were determined to cause this leader, this rabbi, this Jesus, and get rid of him because he is challenging their comfortable lives. Jesus was still prepared to go on. But remember the garden? Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus could have stopped this. He had the power, but he had a greater love. He was not going to stop this journey now, whatever the cost. Let's reflect as we hear, when I survey.
Starting at verse 28. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace, because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anybody," they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked. "Or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then?" said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Reported Pilate. With this he went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, I find no basis for a charge against him. But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, No, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising.
Thank you very much, Ian, for recording that. And we are thankful to God that you are also getting better at this time. Choices. The revolution or anything. This was not a popularity vote for Barabbas. No, he was not wanted. He was not desired. He was just not Jesus. This was a vote against Jesus. Who would you choose? This is a gospel question. Choose today, the Jesus way or any way. The religious leaders were so determined to crush Jesus that they were going to do anything. And now they were happy to release someone who has taken part in an uprising because he was not Jesus. God, Jesus, so often disturbs and brings conflict. Conflict with the world and conflict within ourselves. The God way is often contrary to the way that people want to live. They want to go and they want to continue living in the way of their sinful ways. And Jesus calls us back to holiness, calls us back to putting God first, calls us back to the Ten Commandments, the first of which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, to dedicate ourselves. And what Jesus was teaching, what Jesus was saying, was about bringing back God's standards. And the vote went against him. Barabbas was chosen. And on this Good Friday, we are left with a choice. Will we choose Jesus to be Lord, or will we choose anything else? The Jesus way or any way? Yet even with this vote against him, when Jesus might have said, Dad, they are not worth it. They do not even want me. Still, yes, still, he journeys on to a far, far worse place. Remember the garden? Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus could have stopped this. He had the power, yet he had greater love. He was not going to stop now, whatever the cost. And Ian will read again and continue the story from John chapter 19.
My second reading is taken from John chapter 19, starting at verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in the face. Once more Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here is the man. As soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify! But Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize I have the power either to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat him on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him." "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out of the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but that this man claimed to be the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home.
We'll now read John chapter 19, reading from verses 28 to 37, the death of Jesus. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced. May God bless the reading of his word to us. Amen.
Thank you, Carmen. And so we've heard, it is finished. Jesus fulfilling scripture. But because he came and fulfilled scripture, we can come to him in prayer. And so let's pray. Father God, as we recognize your death this day, we come before you, humbled and grateful, knowing that you will and are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it is in confidence that we come, knowing that we can bring before you all those that are heavy on our hearts. We particularly bring before you those who have lost loved ones in the last 24, 48 hours. We particularly pray for Mimi Aloko and all her family following the loss of her father yesterday. Lord, be with that family, separated at this time. Comfort them, we pray. We bring before you Danny and Mimi following the passing of his mum. Separated by the miles, but knowing that you are with them. Surround them, Lord, we pray, with your peace and your love, your comfort and your strength. Father God, be too with our frontline workers, especially with our emergency services and our NHS. Father God, we know from talking to those, even from our fellowship, who are fighting on the front line in the hospitals, how hard, how tired, how exhausted they are. We know just what a battle they are up against. Father God, give them a strength that comes only from you when they themselves are too exhausted. Give them the strength to continue when their shift still has many hours to go. Give them the words of comfort, the words of peace, the words of hope. Help us, Lord, to help them by staying at home in order to save lives. Despite the lure of the sunshine, help us to be responsible. And Lord, we do thank you for our Prime Minister and our government. Lord, we do pray that you will continue to be with Boris in hospital and all those who are caring for him, but they are caring for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of others too. Strengthen and be with them. Be with our government as it makes decisions. Be with us as we have to trust them and the scientists. But Lord, we thank you for expertise, for knowledge, for sharing of resources and support from other countries. And Lord, we bring before you our world that is just being ripped apart. And yet, Lord, you came because you loved this world. And for that, we are very grateful. And so, Lord, be with those who are struggling with the conditions that we find ourselves in. Those who are suffering and struggling, maybe with physical problems or mental and emotional or spiritual difficulties at this time. Lord, we pray a blessing on your world, on those that you love, those that know you, but also, Lord, on those who do not yet know you. Lord, we pray that through what we do, through the witness that we are, because of what you did on that cross, others will come to know you for themselves so that they can know the hope that has come around because of your death on the cross, of the pain and the agony that you went through. And so we come before you, recognizing your love. We thank you. Amen. And we sing again, the old rugged cross.
One of the great hymns that means so much to so many people. And what surprises me about that hymn is how much it means to non-Christians. There's a comfort in the cross. It's funny that we're comforted by something so cruel. Cross. Yes, it's great, you know, we see them all over the place, but it's actually a symbol of torture. In Matthew's account of the trials, we have Pilate washing his hands to say, I am blameless, I am clean, this death is not my fault. We do not know if he sang happy birthday twice while he was washing his hands, but we do know he was trying to rid himself of responsibility. But he knew, the world knew, that they were sending an innocent man to his death, and the cruelest of deaths. It was false truths, a miscarriage of justice. It was a hideous whipping. Agony worse than childbirth. Dangerous saying that as a man, isn't it? But it was agony. It was total humiliation. And still, he went towards the cross. Remember the garden? Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus could have stopped this. He had the power, but he had greater love. He was not going to stop now, whatever the cost. He breathed his last. He gave out that cry, "It is finished." And it was finished. What was finished? Well, the cost of our salvation being paid, our redemption, our forgiveness, the cost, the price were paid. Remember what Jesus said early in his ministry in John chapter 3, verse 16. God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And on the cross, God was giving his Son for us, his gift, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And now that work is finished, and as we live in a Good Friday world locked in, remember, Sunday is coming. Jesus could have said, I'm not going to go there. Remember in the garden? Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Jesus could have stopped this. He had the power. He had greater love. But he was not going to stop now, whatever the cost. And Jesus is still transforming lives. He is still touching lives. He is still doing the work. Will you receive him today? Don't say goodbye, says this next video.
You need not say goodbye. The people will shout my name. Pilate will tell them there's nothing I've done to deserve this, but they will refuse. Pilate will stand me beside Barabbas, a murderer, and they will choose him over me. Pilate will appeal to the priest, insist on simply whipping me to appease their fury, but they will shout it louder, crucify, crucify. But still, you need not say goodbye. My hands will be tied to a post. The sound of the whip will ring in your ears and in your chest. The soldiers will peel the skin off my back. A ring of thorny branches will be pressed into my scalp until the blood runs into my eyes. Oh, but listen, you need not say goodbye. I will carry that cross. I will go to the place of the skull, and there they will drive the iron stakes between the bones in my wrist. With a hammer, they will nail my feet into the tree. I will be raised up as the world waits for me to die. Nevertheless, you need not say goodbye. Between two thieves I will hang. You may hear me speaking to my Father. Your Father. You may hear me ask him, why? But child, you need not say goodbye. What you won't see, what you won't hear, what you won't know until all of this is done, is that in that moment, I was paying the penalty of your wrongdoing, every mistake. Every act of envy, every word of hatred, every moment of violence and greed and spite, every selfish desire, every lustful thought, every moment of weakness and weariness, all the failures of human history will be in my hands and on my head. On that cross, I will suffer the wrath that was destined for you. Every guilty verdict fallen on me, your punishment will be paid for in my blood, and it will be enough. I will die on your cross. I will let out a final sigh. Know that I have loved you, and you need not say goodbye. But if you must, if you absolutely must say the word goodbye, then say it like this. Goodbye, fear. Goodbye, sorrow. Goodbye, rejection. Goodbye, shame. Say it like this. Goodbye, guilt. Goodbye, condemnation. Goodbye, all the regrets of the past. Look up at the cross and speak the words. Goodbye, addiction. Goodbye, chains. Goodbye, hopelessness. Right here in this place, say it aloud. Goodbye, captivity. Hello, freedom. Goodbye, loneliness. Hello, belonging. Goodbye, defeat. Hello, victory. This is the end of the curse. This is the demise of the serpent. This is all debts paid. This is, it is finished. Goodbye all the powers of hell. Goodbye darkness. Goodbye dread. Goodbye every sin. Go ahead and say it. Goodbye death.
Speak. Be free. But don't say goodbye to me. Yes, you'll see them put the spear in my side. But remember, it's only Friday. So, you need not say goodbye.
And so our service comes to an end, but we invite you to join us again on Sunday morning as we come and celebrate that he has indeed, he is risen. And we'll celebrate with one another in this format on Sunday morning at 10:30 and again at 6:30 in the evening as we journey with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. At 6 o'clock. Sorry, 6 o'clock, not 6:30. You still got about 24 hours to send in your response to our Easter challenge, to send in a picture of your Easter garden, or a painting, or a poem, or however you want to portray Easter, whatever Easter is looking like to you. Send in your pictures. The details will be coming onto the slide, or they're on the notice sheet if you receive them. Send them by email or WhatsApp or text to Ian so that we can put that together and share that on Sunday morning. And so we come to an end of our service. We close in prayer. As we've just been reminded by the video, it's because of the cross that we can say goodbye to our fears and our sorrow, to our rejection and our shame, to our guilt and our condemnation, to the regrets of the past, or our addictions, or our chains, or our hopelessness, or our captivity. Because of the cross, we can live in freedom and not captivity. Because of the cross, we can live in victory and not defeat. We can be Easter people in a Good Friday world. So we thank you that it's not goodbye. And we pray for ourselves and in the coming days, for those who don't yet know you, that Lord, through us, through your love, they will know the hope of the resurrection to come. Be with us, Lord, we pray. Amen.